بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسألونك عن المحيض قل هو أذى فاعتزلوا النساء في المحيض ولا تقربوهن حتى يطهرن. This is an ayah again from Surah Al-Baqarah, and this ayah mentions that the Sahaba asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding hayd. Hayd is the monthly cycle that a woman undergoes. The Prophet ﷺ was commanded by Allah to say, "Kul huwa adhan," say it is a sickness, fa'tazilun nisa, or a type of impurity, fa'tazilun nisa'a fil mahid, you should avoid women at the time of their cycle, wala taqrabuhunna hatta yathurna, and do not approach them until they are purified. So the next chapter that we want to discuss actually is a discussion of hayd. And within this also comes a discussion of nifas, and a discussion of something called istihada. There's really three terms that you need to understand. Number one is hayd, number two is nifas, and number three is istihada. All of these terms describe blood coming from the uterus of a woman. The uterus is an organ in the woman, and the blood will either be hayd, if it comes from the uterus, or it'll be nifas, or it'll be istihada. Hayd is also called menstruation. You could translate it as menstruation. It is the blood that comes from the uterus during the monthly cycle, during a woman's monthly cycle. The maximum time, and this year, now you're assuming that the woman is going through monthly cycles, so not in a five-year-old child, but in, for example, someone who's 10, 11, 12, past the age of puberty, if they have blood that comes on a monthly basis, that's called hayd, or we call it the monthly cycle or menstruation in English as well. The minimum period for hayd is 3 days. And the maximum is 10 days. And this will become evident why I'm mentioning this in a moment. The second type of blood that can come from the uterus is called nifas. And nifas is defined as that blood that comes after childbirth. So after childbirth, a woman will continue to bleed from the uterus for a given number of days, and that's called nifas. There's no minimum for nifas. Nifas can be even one moment. It could be a day. It can be 10 days. But the maximum is 40 days. And this is actually a very, very misunderstood concept among many women. They think that once they have a child, they cannot pray for 40 days, and they won't pray until the 40th day or the 41st day. That's not true. The maximum is 40 days. So if you stop bleeding, if a woman stops bleeding after 20 days, then she will go ahead, perform ghusl, and then begin to pray. You don't wait out the full 40 days. The third type of blood that can come from the uterus is called istihada. Meaning any blood that comes which is not hayd, which is not from the menstrual cycle, and is not nifas, not that blood which comes after childbirth, is called istihada. And that's just any kind of general blood that comes from the uterus. It has to come from the uterus. In medical terms, we call it dysfunctional uterine bleeding. It's a uterine bleeding blood from the uterus which does not involve a normal function of the human body, either childbirth or menstruation. So this could, for example, be seen if in pregnancy. Let's say a woman is pregnant and she has blood coming from the uterus. That would be considered istihada. Or if, for example, a five-year-old girl who has not yet attained the age of puberty has some disease which results in blood coming from the uterus, that's called istihada. Let's say there's a 60-year-old woman who's postmenopausal, who doesn't have cycles anymore, doesn't have monthly cycles anymore, and she begins to bleed. And this happens a lot, for example, in cancers and things of this nature, then that is also called istihada. So there's a very different ruling for istihada than there is for hayd and nifas. Now hayd, which is the monthly cycle, and nifas, which is bleeding after childbirth, both have a similar ruling in the Sharia, in that the following things are not permitted when hayd or nifas are occurring. Number one, a woman who is having hayd or nifas cannot pray salah. There is no salah for such a woman. So she will not pray any salah in that state. And also, she will not fast. She will not fast in that state. However, after that state is over, after her 7 days of her cycle, or after her 35 days of, let's say, bleeding after childbirth, she has to make up any fasting that she missed, but she will not make up any of the prayers. So both fasting and salah are prohibited on a woman who is bleeding either through hayd or nifas. But she has to make up the fast, but she will not make up the prayers. That's the first thing that is not permitted for her. The second thing which is not permitted for her is conjugal relations with her husband, and that specifically intercourse. The third thing which is prohibited is entering the masjid. And actually, probably the better way to look at this, if you want to really get a little bit more detailed, is that's basically because hay and nifas cause a state of major ritual impurity. They cause a state of halakh al-akbar. And in a state of halakh al-akbar, you cannot enter the masjid, you cannot touch or recite the Holy Quran, and those are the two major things. You cannot touch and recite the Holy Quran, and you cannot enter the masjid. So these are two things which cannot be performed in a state of hayd and in a state of nifas, because while you are in hayd and while a woman is in nifas, in each of those scenarios, she is in a state of major ritual impurity. And she cannot perform ghusl until that bleeding ends. So therefore, there are four essential things that she's not going to be able to do: salah and fasting, but she'll make up her fast, intercourse, entering the masjid, touching or reading the Holy Quran, either touching or reading the Holy Quran, and also tawaf of the ta'bah. So these are basically the big things that are not permitted. Now, as far as not being able to recite the Quran, that means actually doing actual recitation of the Holy Quran. If there are some ayat that a woman normally reads that are part of the Quran, but she reads them for the sake of dhikr, then it's permitted for her to do that. For example, let's say she has a habit when she gets in the car of saying, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu mukrinin, etc., to the end of the dua. That's actually an ayah of the Holy Quran. She is permitted to recite that as a dua. As a dua, it is permitted for her to recite that. Similarly, if she has a habit of reading Surah Fatiha right before she goes to bed, then that's permitted as a dua. But she cannot recite the Quran otherwise. So the recitation of the Quran would be prohibited for her. One other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, many people feel, like especially sisters, they feel, well, this is not fair. You know, it's not fair that brothers are able to pray all the time and women are not able to pray for this one particular week. But in actuality, both of these states are equal. Whether you pray or don't pray is an equal state. Because we don't pray for the sake of prayer. We pray because Allah commanded us to pray. That's really why we pray. So when a woman is not able to pray, she's not praying because Allah commanded her to pray. In either case, when she's able to pray or not able to pray, she's still fulfilling the commandment of Allah. And that's the essential goal. So a woman should never look upon the fact that she can't pray for a week as unfair. Actually, she's just as much as she's following the laws of Allah when she prays, when she is not in the state of hayd, she's also following the laws when she does not pray in the state of hayd. So it's just being a servant. Sometimes Allah commands you one way, sometimes Allah commands you another way. We're servants, we don't have any opinion in the matter. So we don't look at that as a lower state. And in fact, my teachers used to say that it's a type of sickness in a way. It's not truly a sickness, but it's a type of sickness. And just as if somebody is sick, and let's say you have a regular habit of praying tahajjud every night, and you get sick one night, and you're not able to pray your tahajjud for 2 or 3 days, then it's hoped that because of your regular habit, that you'll be rewarded for those days that you missed, because you didn't miss them on your own, but you were sick and you had the niyyah that if you were healthy, you would have done it. Well, the same is the case with a sister. If she was healthy, or if she was not having her hayd or nifas, she would have prayed. So inshallah, the hope is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only give her the reward of following this other law, but also the reward of praying, because she would have prayed, she had the niyyah to pray, if she was able to do so. So in fact, she could see it as a double reward. One is having the niyyah to pray, and two is following another law of Allah, because He didn't change the law on her for that particular week. So it's really, really a great blessing. It's not something to be looked down upon and say, well, this is not fair. It's actually a blessing from Allah, and it's just another way of being a servant. Now, when the bleeding actually ends, either in the case of the bleeding of hayd is actually anything that occurs during a woman's expected time, and it can be any color, and it can look very different at different times in a woman's life, and women are more familiar with this, obviously. But once the bleeding ends, then the woman must perform ghusl. A woman must perform ghusl in order to remove the state of major ritual impurity from her. Once she performs the ghusl, which we've described in detail previously, she will then subsequently be able to do all those things which she was previously not able to do. So the ghusl will purify her completely. Now overall, hayd is a very, very complicated issue because many, many factors can arise and confuse people. And I don't want to go into too many details. Really, if somebody has an issue, a particular issue, they need to go to their local mufti and spend time with a mufti and explain their situation so that they can get a proper fatwa. But I'll go over some very, very general concepts about hayd so that perhaps it can assist people in knowing when they should go to the mufti and how to ask the question. So first of all is that the monthly cycle is usually a habit. What usually happens is it's a 28-day cycle, most commonly. So every, 28 days, this cycle, well, actually, every less than 28 days, but every month, this cycle will occur one time at a regular period. So, for example, maybe the first 10 days of the month, and the woman might have this every time during the first few days of the month. So a woman can pretty much identify when she's expecting to get her next cycle. And anything that's seen during that period, when she's expecting it, anything of flow, any color, whether it be black or red or whatever color the blood might be from that flow, that counts as hayd. Now, there are three basic principles that a woman has to keep in mind when thinking about hayd. Number one is that the minimum of hayd is 3 days. Number two, that the maximum of hayd is 10 days. And number three, that the maximum period of purity between two hayd, or the minimum period of purity between two hayd is 15 days, and there is no maximum. So let me give you some examples. For example, let's say a woman has a 3 or 4 day habit. Now women will often know that I have a bleeding habit of 3 days during my hayd. So let's say she has a 4 day habit. Then 1 month she bleeds 4 days, and then she bleeds 4 more days. So now she's bled 8 days total, and then it stops. Well, all 8 of those days will count as hayd. 4 because she had an original base habit of 4, but then 4 more because she still stayed within the maximum of 10. 10 is the maximum. She hit 8. She had 4 habit days and 4 extra days. So those 4 habit days will be her normal hayd, plus 4 more are still within the possibility of hayd, so it'll count as 8 days of hayd. Now let's change the scenario and say, let's say she has a 4-day habit, and then she bleeds 7 more days beyond that. So now she's bled 11 days total, but 10 was the maximum. So actually the first 4 days will count as hayd, and the next 7 days will count as istihada. Now istihada is very different than hayd, because in istihada you can pray, you can have relations with your husband, etc. So we'll talk about istihada in a moment. So because she crossed the border and went into 11 days, which is greater than the 10-day maximum, the first 4 days will count as her hayd, because that's her standard habit every month, and the next 7 will count as istihada. If a woman does not have a habit, like a regular habit, let's say 1 month she's 5 days, the next month she's 6 days, the next month she's 3 days, the next month she's 8 days, then the length of time of the previous month is counted as the base habit. So if the last month she had a 5-day habit, then that will be her habit when she's looking at the next month. She'll count that as her sort of tentative habit for that particular, for calculating anything that might be a variation on that in the next month. Now, let's say that a woman has a habit of 4 days, and then she actually bleeds for 5 days. And then the next, she bleeds, so she has a habit of 4 days, and then 1 month she bleeds for 5 days. Then the month after that, she bleeds 5 days, and then she bleeds 6 more beyond that. So she bled 11 days total. Then the first 5 days, since she had the habit from the previous month of 5, those first 5 days will count as istihada, but since she bled 11 total, then the next 6 will count, the first 5 will count as hayd, and since she bled 11 total, the next 6 will count as istihada. Similarly, you have to have, if you look at one of the other rules I presented, you have to have a minimum period of 15 days between any two hayd. There has to be 15 days of purity between each hayd before you can say that you've entered a new hayd. So let's take an example. Let's say that a woman had 4 days of bleeding, and then she had 15 days of no bleeding, and then she has 4 more days of bleeding. Then we'll say that she had 4 days of hayd, 15 days of purity, and 4 more days of hayd. Those will count as 2 separate hayd. But if she bleeds 4 days, and then she's pure for 8 days, and then she bleeds 4 more days, then we'll say that all 12 days, 4 plus 8 plus 4, sorry, all 16 days, all 16 days were bleeding, and because her habit, what will happen is the hayd will equal her habit, and the remainder, the extra will be istihada. So we'll count all of those days as bleeding since she never entered a period of purity, add them up, and then remove the number that's her habit as hayd, and anything beyond that will be istihada. That's basically a very, very brief summary of hayd and the different scenarios that can occur, and it's really complicated. Believe me, it's one of the most complicated subjects in fiqh, So for any sister who has a situation where she might be confused, I highly suggest that she consult with her local scholar or with a mufti, because that's the way you're really going to resolve that type of issue, where you can actually interact and explain the entire scenario of what had occurred. Now, all blood that occurs during pregnancy, that is all istihada. Istihada means some other type of blood, not hayd and not nifas. Because when you're pregnant, you cannot have hayd. When a woman is pregnant, she cannot have hayd, and she can't have had nifas, because nifas cannot occur until half the child is out of the tract. Half the child has to be given birth to, or be out of the uterus, before you can enter a state of nifas. So any bleeding during pregnancy counts as istihada. So a woman will continue to pray, and she'll continue to fast, etc., and I'll give the rulings for istihada in a moment. Finally, any blood after birth is considered nifas. Nifas means that bleeding that occurs after childbirth, and nifas is that bleeding that occurs after the baby is born, and it lasts a maximum of 40 days, and there is no minimum. The same principles of habit that apply to hayd also apply to nifas. So if a woman has a habit of 30 days, like she had a previous birth and she bled for 30 days, and then the next year she has another birth and she bleeds for 30 days, which is her habit, and then she bleeds 5 more, so 35 days total, then that 35 will all be nifas. But if she had a habit of 30 days and then she bled 15 more, so now she's totaled 45 days, because she went over 40, the first 30 days will be considered nifas, and the next 15 will actually be considered istihada, dysfunctional uterine bleeding.